जय राधा माधव।
The following is a lecture on attentive chanting by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami.
Jai Radha Madhava Punjabi Hare. Gopi jana bala bha yuvala dhari. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the most merciful of all incarnations, and who appeared specifically to save the fallen people of Kali Yuga. So these 26 qualities of a devotee were also explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this Madanila section, you read about the very wonderful instructions which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Rupa Goswami how, after traveling through so many millions of births and deaths, is one fortunate enough to receive Bhakti Lata Beat, the seed of devotional service. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further explains how this seed of devotional service can grow. Just like good gardener, when he plants the seed, he then nourishes the seed, and he nourishes the seed by the process of watering the seed. So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Rupa Goswami that one may receive the seed, Brahmanda Brahmita Kona Bhagavanoji Guru Krishna Kripapai Bhakti Lata Bheed, but that bheed has to be watered, and that watering process is the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam. Without Shravanam and Kirtanam, it is impossible for the devotional seed to grow. So not only should we take to the chanting, or take to the process of chanting and hearing, but as we often hear, we should chant and hear very attentively, and also endeavor to avoid the offenses as we chant and hear. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained that if one is just chanting and if he is not endeavoring to avoid the 10 offenses, then gradually one will get attached to sense gratification and impersonalist philosophy. Just like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we also read about a very nice story of Ramachandra Puri, who was the spiritual uncle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramachandra Puri had a tendency to falsify, especially the sannyasis. And gradually, his devotional fervor got curtailed to the point that he eventually became a Mayavadi. So Bhakti Siddhanta Ji has explained very nicely that just chanting, but not attempting to avoid the 10 offenses, actually will also curtail, will also, as we said earlier, help develop a variety of material desires that will ultimately culminate in becoming impersonalists. That is why every morning in all the ISKCON temples, we recite the 10 offenses, so that regardless of whether one is a new devotee or an old devotee, one gets reminded that if I'm not careful, then Bhau Janma Karayari Shana Kirtana Tabutana Paya Krishna Pade Premadhana. One may go on chanting the names of Krishna birth after birth, but unless one endeavors to avoid the offenses, one will not be able to develop Krishna Bhakti or love of God. In addition to the 10 offenses, one should also be attentive while chanting, or in other words, one should not be inattentive while chanting. Just like when you're studying, it's a mundane example, if somebody is studying for his exams or something, he likes to study with full concentration, isn't it? Even if somebody is speaking loudly, he wants to, please don't disturb me. So, chanting over 16 rounds should not be executed inattentively. It is not like, to give you another mundane example, we see about the materialist in the morning, they're reading the newspaper, drinking tea, watching television, answering telephone calls, talking to family members, doing all at the same time. So if we chant attentively, then the chanting will gradually destroy our anarthas. As Rupa Goswami explained, by bhajana kriya, as a result of bhajana kriya, there develops anartha nivritti. Bhajana kriya is the process of chanting and hearing along with executing the process of sadhana bhakti. Why are we not surrendering to Krishna? Due to the presence of unlimited anarthas. Due to the presence of unlimited anarthas, which are the result of A, desires from past life and sinful activities executed prior to coming to Krishna consciousness, and unlimited desires that we have accumulated in the environment and the society in which we have grown up and lived. These anarthas are a stumbling block, just like Prabhupada used to give the example of a person suffering from cataract. He cannot see clearly, or when the clouds cover the sun. So these anarthas cover our constitutional position to engage in service to the Lord. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Chaitanya Dharma Marjana. So, as a result of attentive chanting and our endeavor to avoid the offenses, one is able to destroy the anarthas and gradually develop nistha. But nistha by itself is not enough. We have to keep endeavoring. And then ultimately this nishtha culminates in Krishna prema. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Rupa Goswami how one should keep oneself surrounded by good devotees, by devotee association. He explains that just like a gardener, he builds a strong fencing so that the neighborhood animals, etc., individuals may not come and steal. So, strong fencing means keeping oneself in the association of devotees. By keeping oneself in the association of devotees, especially advanced devotees, not only does one have the opportunity to hear about the transcendental topics of the Lord, but with the help of advanced devotees and the spiritual master, one can also correct one's material weaknesses that have a tendency to keep sprouting, and thereby get corrected so that one's devotional career can go on without any hindrances. So, and after describing all this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further explains the importance of avoiding Vaishnava apradhas. And he compares Vaishnava apradha to a mad elephant. Mad elephant who may enter into a beautiful garden and spoil a beautiful garden. Just like you may have a very nicely decorated house, but if you let a small child run all over, then the small child has the capacity to unsettle everything. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns us that on the devotional path, we should so mold our devotional service that we avoid committing Vaishnava pradhas. Vaishnava pradhas is an activity that can be executed consciously, unconsciously by anyone, senior or junior devotees. So we have to be very careful so that we always act within the framework of the instructions given by the spiritual master and the shastras and the sadhus. So after explaining all this to Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded to describe to Sanatana Goswami the process of devotional service. And of course, these chapters are so relishable. There are many times if you read, you will always learn something new that can help you on your spiritual path. So today, we're going to read the 26 qualities of a devotee that were explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. Of course, with the limited time we have, we may hardly be able to cover a few. But nevertheless, it is important to meditate on these different qualities. Even in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, the Devahuti asked her son, "My dear son, please describe to me, how can I become free from the cycle of birth and death?" And the son replied by explaining that, "Mother, your question is very glorious, but you can become free from the cycle of birth and death by coming in the association of devotees." So his mother further probed him to ask, he said by taking to the process of bhakti. And then the mother asked, "How can I acquire bhakti?" To which the son replied, "By associating with devotees." And then the mother asked, "How do I recognize a devotee?" To which the son replied, "By listing the qualities of a devotee." So the point is that in the scriptures, we get so much guidance about every aspect of devotional service. We get guidance on the characteristics we should develop, on the qualities that we should develop, on the offenses that we should avoid, how we should chant. In other words, almost anything that we need to know is found in the Shastras. So we shall read these qualities and then the translation. Kripalu akrita droha satya sara sama nidosha vadanaya mridu suchi akinchana saroba karaka shanta krishnaika sharana akama anila stira vijita sattuna mita bhukta pramata manada amani gambhira karuna maitra kavidaksha mauni. Devotees are always merciful, humble, truthful, equal to all, faultless, magnanimous, mild and clean. They are without material possessions and they perform welfare work for everyone. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna and desireless. They are indifferent to material acquisitions and are fixed in devotional service. They completely control the six bad qualities, lust, anger, greed, and so forth. They eat only as much as required, and they are not inebriated. They are respectful, grave, compassionate, and without false prestige. They are friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. Om Gyana Tivinandasya Yana Jana Shalakya Chakshuran Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Kurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadatikam. He Krishna Karna Sindho Dhina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Rana Kanta Namastate Dapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Kripalu, merciful. So we've all heard this discussed several times. It has been explained that the Vaishnava is a truly merciful individual. Now, different people have different concepts of what is the meaning of mercy. isn't it? Like, if you go to many countries, including India, a lot of people think that being merciful means giving people some material facilities, like building hospitals, or having eye camps, or doing some other philanthropic work. And very often, people come and accuse us. What do they say? Why are you people spending so much money in building these big, big temples? Why don't you go and do relief to the poor? So different people have different concepts of being merciful. For example, many the Hindu meat eaters, they very proudly say, oh, I don't eat meat on Tuesdays and Saturdays. 2 days a week, they're merciful to the animals. And the Christians may say, come on, I don't eat meat on Fridays. And the Muslims may say, come on, I don't touch a pork. So anyway, there's so many examples we can give. But real mercy means to give people knowledge by which they can become free from the samsara of birth and death. So a devotee is merciful. What does it really mean? A devotee is merciful, it means that a devotee is interested in reminding himself about the instructions of the spiritual master, sadhu, and shastra, so that he can correct his own spiritual execution. And at the same time, he is desirous of giving this topmost knowledge to others so that they can become free from the cycle of birth and death. In our temples, we never discuss mundane topics of mercy, nor do we ever engage in just material philanthropic work. We do engage in giving food to the people, but we call this food for life or prasadam for life. We give them Krishna conscious prasad, so that even by eating prasad, they will gradually get purified and the connection with Krishna will gradually get established. So, real mercy means to give that knowledge by which the living entity can become free from the cycle of birth and death. That is real mercy. That is why devotees engage in preaching work. That is why devotees engage in book distribution. That is why we take part in Harinam. That is why we take part in activities by which people can be reminded about the Supreme Lord and the Lord's teachings. Bhakti Siddhanta Ji used to explain that if at all there's a shortage of anything in this world, there's a shortage of only one commodity. What is that one commodity? Love of God. So, being merciful means endeavoring to give people Krishna consciousness. However, you can't give people Krishna consciousness if you don't give yourself Krishna consciousness. That is why our philosophy is practice what you preach. If you're going out to preach to others, Prabhu, you're not this body. Come on, give up all your attachments. And we ourselves are identifying with the body and maintaining all the attachments. Then our preaching is not going to be very forceful. It's not going to be very effective. That is why Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that one's spiritual life should be so molded that the meaning, that the purport of the religious scriptures can be conveyed. So, real mercifulness means giving people knowledge by which they can become free from the cycle of birth and death. And of the various programs of mercifulness that Prabhupada gave to us, one activity which he described as most important was of the various programs that Prabhupada gave us by which we can distribute mercy, one activity book distribution. Prabhupada explained that this activity of book distribution was the most important. Why? Because these books contain nothing but the words of the Supreme Lord and the explanation of the words of the Supreme Lord by a pure devotee and the predecessor acharyas. Because Prabhupada, when he would write the purports of these verses, he would first refer to the commentaries of the predecessor acharyas. Just like when Prabhupada would write the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he would read the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sridhar Swami, etc., and then take the essence and add on what was relevant. When Prabhupada wrote the commentary to the Bhagavad Gita, he very thoroughly read the commentaries of Baladeva Vidyabhusan. In other words, these books explain the instructions of the Lord. And when the devotee endeavors to give these books to others, one is actually engaging in the highest welfare activity. The highest welfare activity one can engage in on this planet is to give people these transcendental books, because these transcendental books have the capacity to destroy the illusory concepts of life and to get one attached to the process of bhakti. Sometimes even devotees have a tendency to minimize the importance of book distribution. They say, oh, so many books have gone out, but see, our temples are still empty. Huh? So why are people not becoming devotees? That is actually a trick of Maya that bewilders us in the importance of the most important activity on this planet. So we must have faith. When Prabhupada said, if you love me, preach. Your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate. And Prabhupada also said, preach. Preach. And Prabhupada gave us his own examples. How? Till his last days, he never stopped preaching. How? In his last days on this planet, we saw personally, Prabhupada was so sick that he could hardly sit. He could hardly speak. But still he had some devotees helping him in his bed sit. One devotee holding the microphone next to his mouth. Another devotee, Pradyumna, reading the Sanskrit slokas and the commentaries of the previous acharyas. And with all this difficulty, Prabhupada was dictating the purports to 10th Canto, Part 3. So the point is that Prabhupada was doing this not because he wanted to leave a name behind as an author who translated X number of books, because he was concerned that people can get this knowledge. We saw on several occasions in India, sometimes Prabhupada would be a little indisposed and he would be advised complete rest. But still, he never missed the opportunity to preach. So, devotees are always merciful. So, devotees are always anxious to give people this transcendental knowledge. And as Prabhupada said, when you give Krishna, you get Krishna. So what does this mean? When you give Krishna, when you give people these transcendental books, you're actually giving them Krishna. When you give people this transcendental knowledge, you are giving Krishna to them. And when Krishna sees that, here is my devotee, trying to deliver my message to the others, then you get Krishna. In other words, then Krishna, who is situated in the heart of the Paramatma, he gives you the necessary intelligence by which you will become determined to execute devotional service. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya chaham hirdi sanivishto mataha smriti jnanam apahanam cha. I'm the source of forgetfulness and the source of remembrance. So when Krishna sees that here is somebody endeavoring to give me to everyone, then Krishna gives them the necessary intelligence by which the person becomes determined to execute devotional service. So if we want Krishna, we should be endeavoring to give Krishna. And regardless of whether one is a brahmachari or grihastha or a vanaprastha or a sannyasi, this material ashram is no impediment for spiritual advancement. In fact, most of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates were all grihasthas. So even in the grihastha ashram, one can develop the mood of being merciful and endeavor to preach the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Then, akrata droha. This has been described as not defined, humble. So, humility is very, very important in spiritual life. What does humility mean? We've all heard of this word humility. So in mature life, if you ask a man on the street, what does humble mean? He may say that humility means somebody who is soft-spoken, huh? Somebody who never criticizes others, am I right? Somebody who always agrees with the other person. Yeah, different people may have different. There are some people who just don't say anything because their philosophy is, I just have to be nice to everyone. So it doesn't matter what you say, they agree. So different people may have different concepts of what constitutes humility. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a very nice definition of what constitutes humility. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Janadapi Sumi Chena, Taro Rapi Saishnana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtanadi Sada Hari. Kirtanadi Sada Hari. What does Kirtanadi Sada Hari mean? The ability to chant the holy names all the time. Hari means the names of Krishna. Hari, one who drives away everything inauspicious. Sada means always. So, it's not even easy to chant the holy names all the time. I mean, we don't underestimate the surrender that's required on the devotional path. If we want the holy name, we literally have to beg for the holy name. Don't take it for granted. Your holy name is my commodity. I can take it when I want. I can toss it out when I want. No. Thakur Bhaktivinoda explains in the Jeev Jago prayer. He says, I have brought this holy name to destroy your disease. What is our disease? A disease is the desire for sense gratification, adoration, prestige, followers, etc. But then Thakur Bhaktivinoda further says, I brought this holy name, Bhaktivinoda Prabhu, Charane Prayer, Sai Harinama Mantra Laila Magiya. Now you please beg for the holy name. Beg for the holy name. The holy name is the medicine. But now you beg for the holy name. Because this holy name alone has the capacity to destroy all our anarthas, as we explained earlier. So, we have to beg for the holy name. And one can be in a position of being able to chant the holy names constantly. If one executes devotional service in a humble frame of mind. Prabhupada told us an incident. This incident was told to us by one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. We all know that Prabhupada at one time was in the pharmaceutical business. You know that, no? Prabhupada had a drug store and a pharmaceutical factory. So Prabhupada had once prepared a drug tonic. And he told his godbrother, look at this drug tonic that I have prepared. So it was a vitamin tonic. So Prabhupada was telling his godbrother, please try this vitamin tonic. So Prabhupada's godbrother said, Abhe Babu, at that time Prabhupada was in the Grihastha Ashram, this is not the tonic that I need. I want the tonic by which I can develop love of God. So Prabhupada, give me that tonic. Then Prabhupada said, I know the formula for that tonic, but that tonic is not ready as yet. Of course, Prabhupada was always very humble. And what was that formula that Prabhupada gave? Janadapi Sumi Chena Tarapi Sakana. So humility means being ready to offer all respect to others without expecting anything in return. Generally, in material life, our guiding principle is tit for tat. Or as they say in Hindi, nele pe dela. You give, you do tit, I do tat. But in spiritual life, we are ready to offer all respects to others without expecting anything in return at all. For the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, one should consider oneself lower than the straw in the street. The straw in the street is walked on by everyone, isn't it? Even in gardens where they put a notice, please don't walk on the grass, people still walk on grass. So you're walking on the head of the grass. But in spite of the fact that you're walking on the head of the grass doesn't bite you, isn't it? So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, are more humble than a blade of grass, and devoid of all sense of false prestige. What is false? There are many types of false prestige. False prestige is a result of the maintenance of ahankar. And what does false prestige mean? I want to be recognized. I want to be worshipped. I want to be known as the best man in town. I want to be known as the best devotee. I want to be known as the most surrendered devotee, etc. So there are varieties of unlimited desires or activities that can't fall in the category of false prestige. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised us to be more humble, to be humble. That means devoid of all feeling of false prestige. So false prestige has to be renounced. We have to give up this desire for false prestige. But how can you give up this desire for false prestige? This desire for false prestige manifests itself in two ways. One is gross and the other is subtle. One is, I want open recognition that I'm the best devotee. I've done so much service, etc. So that is the gross manifestation. Then there is the subtle manifestation. I may not be saying it openly, but in my heart, I want everyone to know there's no one more sincere than me. There's no one more dutiful than me, etc. So we have to endeavor to take out or eliminate this desire for false prestige, both eternally, both internally and externally. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, devoid of all desires for false prestige, this is what he means. Now, humility does not mean that when you see something wrong, you don't correct it. That is a false concept or understanding of humility. Just like those of us who heard Prabhupada's lectures, etc., and heard him preach, we've seen how Prabhupada used to be very forceful in his preaching. And many times Prabhupada would use words like fools, rascals. Of course, in some parts of India, they consider fool and rascal to be an abuse. But Prabhupada used to say that the word mura that Krishna uses, nirmam duskritana mura, that means an ass, fool. Rascal is just somebody who doesn't just interprets and twists the real instructions. So, once Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Rishikesh in northern India. Prabhupada had gone over there to recover his health. One of our light members, you all heard of Mr. Birla, he has a very nice rest house in Rishikesh. So in April of 1977, Prabhupada had gone there to recuperate, but he was still giving Gita classes once a day in the evening. So Prabhupada was preaching very strongly like this. And there was an American lady in the audience. And an American lady in the question answer period said, Swamiji, a sadhu should not speak like this. A sadhu should not use such harsh words. So Prabhupada said, when you have a boil with pus in it, you don't blow over the boil. You press the boil to get the pus out. So being humble doesn't mean that when I'm doing something wrong and then somebody corrects me, oh, that means he's not humble. That's wrong. Sometimes the neophyte, arrogant, proud disciple thinks that if I'm corrected by the spiritual master, oh, the spiritual master is very proud. Prabhupada said it's the business of the spiritual master. What? To look for the faults in his disciples. Once I was on a morning walk with Prabhupada in Bombay. I had a few other devotees with me. So Prabhupada looked at us and said, don't mind my constant criticism of all of you. My real business is to correct your faults. So that is the business of the spiritual master, to correct the faults. Otherwise, if you're not ready to be corrected, how are you going to make spiritual advancement? You're just going to remain entangled in material existence, birth after birth. Similarly, when a devotee goes out and preaches the Krishna conscious philosophy boldly, that doesn't mean he's not humble. Just like once a Mataji devotee asked Prabhupada a question in Chicago. She said, Prabhupada, you want us to be humble, but if I'm humble, Nobody's going to buy my books. She was a book distributor. So she wanted to know, how can you be humble and at the same time distribute books? Just like when you go on the streets and distribute books, you really have to be a little aggressive. Our devotees don't go and stand on the streets like Jehovah's Witness people do. You know, they go and just, isn't it? They still do the same. I know when we used to walk on the streets, these days Krishna's provided cars, but at one time we used to walk on this river. So they just stand over there with a magazine called Awake, isn't it? And those who are interested, they just drop in. So this is their definition of humble. Don't tell anyone anything. If they want, they'll come on their own. So this Mataji asked Prabhupada, how can I distribute books and be humble at the same time? So Prabhupada explained, when you're preaching, you have to be like a lion. And when you're dealing with Vaishnavas, then you have to be like a lamb. You understand that? He said, when you're preaching outside to the gross materialist, then go and preach like a lion. But when you're dealing with Vaishnavas, then you have to become like a lamb. If you become a lion in dealing with Vaishnavas, then your spiritual life will get checked. So Prabhupada said, a lamb at home and a lion outside. So when we go to preach Krishna consciousness, we should be like a lion. We should be very aggressive, we should be very forceful, we should naturally approach people. But when we're dealing with Vaishnavas, we generally be like a lamb. So humility doesn't mean that we don't correct ourselves or others, but humility means you're ready to offer all respects without expecting anything in return. You consider yourself lower than a straw on the street, and the anartha of false prestige that is so strong in our heart is gradually eliminated. Then truthful, satya-sara, thoroughly true. So again, truthfulness in the mundane world means different from what it means in the spiritual world. There are two types of truths. Absolute truth, relative truth. A relative truth is truth that is the result of philosophies, ideology, statements, legislation, or material agencies. Just like the government passes a law. But later on, when a new government comes to power, they amend the law. So one scientist may say something today. Tomorrow another scientist contradicts that. So this is all relative truth. It was true yesterday, but it's not true today. But in contrast to this, you have what is known as absolute truth. That doesn't change with the passage of time. So absolute truth is eternal. That is why the Vedic philosophy is also known as Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma means the eternal duty of the living entity. So absolute truth is only the words of the Supreme Lord. And as we all know, the words of the Supreme Lord are free from the four types of defects. And they have no defects and they are eternally true. Krishna is Trikalagya. He knows everything about the past, he knows about the present, he knows the future. Similarly, the philosophy which Krishna has given is also eternally true. Just like the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita that we read, the Bhagavad Gita was first spoken to the sun god Vivaswa. And that was millions of years ago. So, being truthful means accepting the instructions of Krishna without any deviation, accepting the instructions of the spiritual master without any deviation, and being truthful to those instructions that one receives. Just like at the time of initiation, in terms of the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord and Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, we commit ourselves to following certain rules, chanting 16 rounds, etc. So being truthful means I'm always reminding myself, I promised this to the Guru, I promised this to Radha and Krishna, I promised this to Prabhupada in front of all the Vaishnavas, so I must fulfill my honor, promise. I must chant my 16 rounds in every day. I must follow the regulative principles, etc. So that is one aspect of truthfulness. That is truthful to the vows that I have taken. Then another aspect of truthfulness is we present Krishna as Krishna wants to be presented. Just like Arjuna accepts Krishna and says, I accept everything in totality what you have presented. So we don't say, Krishna says this, but today it's modern 20th century, so this needs to be adjusted. No. We accept Krishna as it is. That is why Prabhupada presented the Bhagavad Gita and called it as it is. So we present, we accept the truthful message of God without any distortion. Just like there are so many people who read the Bhagavad Gita and have translated the Gita, but they presented their own philosophy, their own ideology, their own distortion. So being truthful to Krishna means accepting what Krishna has spoken and accepting it in a true, accepting it without any distortion. And if we accept Krishna's instruction without any distortion, then it is going to have potency. Just like Prabhupada is a good example, when a man is potent and he has a relationship with a woman, then there is procreation. So similarly, when we accept the original teachings of the Lord as it is through the disciplic succession, then it will have its effect. And the effect is going to be the elimination of anarthas and the development of love of God. So we accept the truthful message without distortion. We keep to our vows. That is another aspect of truthfulness. And then when we go to preach, we preach also without any distortion. We present the truth. We don't say, oh, people may laugh at me if I speak like this, so I'll just water down the philosophy. No. We may speak in a palatable way, skillful way, but the truth can never be compromised.
Hare Krishna.